Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the Moe. One name is Addy, the other is Moe. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the Moe. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Moe's just fat. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and right before we went on air, Addy accused me of making a mistake.
Yes. Fucking up, as it were.
I think that, more accurately, that may have been what you called it.
Yes.
I think that's not nice.
And I think I called you a cocksucker.
I don't think so.
No, because we didn't use tout.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you did think it.
I did think it.
Yeah.
I usually think it.
Yeah.
But venom was spewed last show.
By us?
By us.
I think mainly by you.
Possibly.
Yeah. I think you didn't even let me speak, but don't worry. Today's a new day.
Oh, like Kofi?
No. No.
Xavier Woods?
No. Of course not.
Okay, but then it would be like Big E. Oh, Langston!
No, not like that, no.
Langston. You mean it's just a different day of the week?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
I get that. I get that.
So anyways, what were we talking about? We're going to talk about some wrestling.
Yeah, some wrestling.
Okay, well, where do you want to go? I'll follow you.
Let's talk about...
I'll follow you.
What? Wow. That's your best Darren Young impression.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear about the new guy in wrestling who has a podcast?
The new day?
Sort of, because there's a lot of guys in wrestling who get podcasts, and Josh Matthews is now doing a podcast.
I thought you said there were guys in wrestling.
Well, that's it. He's in TNA, of course, but
what?
But he's their announcer.
He used to be in TNA, right?
Oh, is he? He's still not.
Didn't TNA go out of business?
No, they're in business. I think he's still there.
Huh.
But it's not a show about wrestling. It's actually, and this is true, he's doing a podcast on men's fashion.
I heard this.
I heard it. Super!
I heard. Thanks for asking! Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A new what? Day.
Wow.
Day.
He will now be referred to as Josh the Fashion Faggot Matthews.
No, you will not. Not by me. By you, yes.
That's double F, Josh Matthews.
Wow. Just when I think you can't reach a new level of asshole, you go and do it.
Yeah. No, I surprise myself sometimes.
Yeah. All right. So
we went with double F. Let's talk about AAA. Oh. And who's that jumping out the sky?
R-E-O?
Yeah.
Why did it say R-E-O when his name was R-E-Y?
It said R-E-Y.
Oh, I always
heard
it.
Who's that jumping out the sky?
I always heard it.
R-E-Y.
Who's that coming out of the sky? R-E-O, Speedwagon.
Yeah.
They were a good band.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't.
They weren't.
They were not.
Although I do believe Crash Holly's finisher was called the Speedwagon.
It might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been. All
it
right,
was so, no Speed Force, however.
It was no Speed Force. No. Or a Fast Lane.
That's true.
So what were you going to say?
So Ray Ray.
Who?
Ray Ray.
Ray Ray.
Hey, hey, hey.
He's actually going by that now.
Ray Ray. What?
Rey Mysterio Jr. That's what he'll be, once again.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio, and he's Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going
to AAA, and he's also available for independent shows if you have $20,000 to spare to bring him in.
I do not. But yes, I understand that is his deal, 20 grand.
20 grand is an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
For somebody to, I mean, let's say you sell 1,000 tickets at $50 a pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you got to cover your other expenses. I just don't see. Actually, I don't even think at $50 a pop, you could maybe $35 a pop for an indie show.
Well, let's put it this
even
way.
Even 1,000 tickets seems like a push. Maybe 750 is probably more like it. That's pretty much, your dog's insane.
I know.
Pretty much, we're looking pretty much at, like, just his salary being covered.
Yeah, well, exactly. So there, but there are people that think they can make money off it.
Well, yes, because selling autographs and merch and stuff, but absolutely, yeah. But Rey Mysterio, but I mean, it's more about him going to AAA, you know, and probably wrestling a lot of tag matches down there. Him and Mysticez, with the former Sin Cara, and Alberto Del Patron, or El Patron. I always want to say Del, but El Patron, Del Rio, of course, kind of giving them a strong trio of baby faces to build around, and Mysticez could easily turn heel as well. Yeah, so I mean, AAA is in good shape from that. I mean, you know, I mean, I think they'll turn business. You know, they're not going to be doing you know, huge numbers, but they'll be. I mean, I imagine that they'll be solid with those guys on top, right?
Rock solid.
Solid as a rock.
Not as solid as REO Speedwagon.
Oh, what was their big song again?
I don't remember.
I'll look it up.
You will.
Yep.
You will look it up. But yeah, so I mean, Rey Mysterio, he begs, he pleads, he cajoles, he whines, he fucks Triple H up the ass, and he gets released. So that means now, of course, that things are not looking good for the Lucha Dragons.
Oh, because he was secretly...
Because he was secretly Sin Cara.
Sin Cara, that's right. He was now posing as Sin Cara. Yes. So that means they need a new person to play Sin Cara.
Yes.
Yeah. No, what's Paul Diamond doing?
I don't know. That would be fantastic, because he would go from Max Moon to Rey Mysterio.
Yes. So, yeah. He'll be in Lucha Underground as well.
Probably.
Either way. Like he's... He's an old... I don't know what he's... He's probably closing in on 40, right?
Well, remember the... back in the day, there was a Dave Meltzer radio show on IATA.
Yeah.
In about, like, what, 1999?
1999, probably.
Yeah. And that was when the doctors have told Rey Mysterio not to jump off a curb.
Mm-hmm. That was like 16 years ago.
Yes. Because of his knees.
Yeah. And he was like 22 at the time or so.
Rey Mysterio?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was... he was Booker's son.
And now he's like 38, yeah, or something like that. I think he's 38.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
But, sorry, REO Speedwagon's biggest hit was?
Well, they have a few here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's...
You just dropped that. You're like a WWE storyline.
everybody's gonna remember this one. This is probably my personal favorite.
Okay.
After the advertiser's done here, uh-huh, we'll skip
right to... Are we going to play it?
Well, yeah.
Oh.
And I'm just going to skip to the middle of it, though, because we don't want to pick it up when it's not in the middle of, like, the middle of the song.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. It was like, this is a song about vomiting that I was singing while I watched
I can't fight this feeling anymore. God damn, that's a great song.
Who's that by?
REO Speedwagon. I'll play some more of their hits as the show goes on.
All right. REO Speedwagon Mysterio Jr.
Yes.
But so yeah, he's gonna do Lucha. So now AAA has got Alberto Del Rio, Rey Mysterio, and the original Sin Cara, Mystico. Right.
Yeah. That's what I said earlier. If you were paying attention,
I wasn't.
I know.
But yeah, so it's interesting that, you know, in terms of WWE coveting this Latino market.
Yes.
In corporate speak.
Yeah.
They're coveting the Latino market. You know, we need that fucking Latino is what they keep saying.
It's the fastest growing demographic within America. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, at least for a while there, they were the number one show in Mexico, wrestling show, though they have been passed. Surpassed by AAA now, but
fastest growing demographic. I understand it's Speedy Gonzalez.
And so the thing about it is that they really be looking for that Latino breakout star now for years, right? Yeah. So it's a guy to replace Rey in many ways. And instead, what they've done is drove everybody who potentially could be down into Mexico and
not true.
Oh,
Rosa Mendez.
And isn't she Canadian?
I believe so, from Vancouver.
Yeah, I think she's.
Well, they wanted her to be the Latino star, but it didn't work out.
No.
They said don't beat yourself up about it, though.
Well, they have. It's funny because she used to be abused physically by her boyfriend.
That's not funny.
I know. You are completely horrible human being. You're so proud of yourself. Pumping your arm, yes.
I'm just sitting here trying to get along with the show, but you can't stop laughing. Yeah, so I can't get a word in.
Just unreal.
Because you're laughing at this humor.
Anyways, it's all right because they have El Matadors. They have the Matadors.
Tito Santana.
They have what do you call them? The Lucha? No, the El Matador. No, not the Lucha Dragons. They don't have them. I don't think they have them.
Yeah.
They do, but they.
Are you thinking about the Ascension?
No, I'm thinking about the Colons.
No, the Colons. Yeah, Colons. The
And Torito.
Yeah, Torito. Yeah.
Taller than.
I understand
Rey,
Vince.
Much taller than Kalisto.
I understand Vince McMahon is going around convincing everyone backstage that the fastest growing demographic in America, Samoans.
Well, he believes it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So anyways.
So yeah, Rey Mysterio finally going to live a dream and not be in WWE.
Yeah, he's been wanting to. Like many people lately, if you have any options at all, you want out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we got a new Twitter notification. What does it say?
Oh, we do.
Probably a new follower. We have
probably
somebody.
Just, yeah, another follower.
Just another one of our... Yeah. Yeah, no, another one. There's Kelly Hanks. I'd fuck her.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Call girl.
Call girl, Disney addict, massage therapist, baseball fan. It actually says on there, call girl.
Yeah, it does.
It. I mean, I'm not even...
Yeah.
Exaggerating?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I wouldn't fuck her.
Her last tweet was to Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah. Hmm. Tell her I'd fuck her. Okay. I just put it in there. Mo says he'd fuck you.
Yes. Then she'd probably come back and say, I know.
Oh.
But, yeah, so...
Ask her if she would fuck me, then.
Let's talk about Rey Mysterio.
Who?
Rey Mysterio.
Sin Cara, you mean.
Junior. Yeah. Other than his Sin Cara run... What do you think his highlights were in WWE? Because he came, 2003? So, he had a... Yeah, it was 2003.
Yeah, okay. His second show or first... No, his first show, he had the match with Chavo.
Chavo, yeah.
And then he jumps off the top of the cage.
Yeah, on SmackDown.
On SmackDown.
Then it was all downhill from there.
Pretty much, that was pretty much, the best moment he ever had. He had that great television feud, which culminated in a great main event, which drew big ratings, and they never did again, for the Cruiserweight Championship against Matt Hardy.
That was great.
Yeah.
I'm your poppy, Dominic.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, the thing is, for, pure, great matches, I mean, he was awesome. He's the start. You look at, his CM Punk, I mean, there's guys like Chris Jericho who are smaller guys and everything, but yeah. You look at CM Punk and now Daniel Bryan, and now you look at a lot of the roster.
Yeah.
All of this starts with him being a smaller guy who you could put in against those big guys.
Yeah.
And you would believe that he could win because his offense looks so good.
Yes.
And his influence is massive from that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he as much as... Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart took it away from the Giants and gave guys like Jericho, for instance.
But they weren't small men. They were average-sized men. But he was a small man.
Yes, but someone like Jericho then saw that and said, I could be a wrestler because I'm not 75 feet tall and 847 pounds.
Yeah.
I can do this. And then you transition that to Rey Mysterio, who you then took it to that next level of you have guy like, like a CM Punk and a Daniel Bryan and a, like a Kazarian. You know, that these are Jamie just Noble.
Jamie
Noble. These guys are smaller.
Yeah, just the idea that the just actual guys who are, by wrestling standards, small guys who now can be seen on the main roster, put in with bigger guys, or put in a chance to, you know, a main event, a show or something like that, and people, and you know, and it works. And so that's probably the biggest, yeah, I mean, that's his biggest thing. So if you want to talk about matches, I mean, there's a ton of great matches, a ton of great angles, but all of that pales in comparison to what his actual legacy is, which is when you look at right now in NXT, you look at Tyler Breeze at 195 pounds, Hideo Itami at 180 pounds,
yeah.
Finn Balor at 190 pounds, Sami Zayn at 200 pounds.
Yeah. The Lucha Dragon guy.
Lucha Dragon, yeah, all of these
at
guys.
43 pounds.
Yeah, so can what?
Even Adrian Neville.
Adrian Neville, yeah. You look at these guys, yeah, Adrian Neville for sure, like 180 pounds, right?
Yeah.
You look at all these guys, and even Spanky, who they brought back in this, you know, just recently at 170 pounds.
Yeah.
All of these guys, it's because Rey worked. Like he's the gateway to all these guys having this opportunity. We can talk about angles, we can talk about matches, and there's a ton. And if we wanted to, we would actually dedicate a whole show on it. We have too much to get to. But, yeah, that's Rey's greatest.
Well, yeah. And the chapter hasn't closed on Rey Mysterio. In fact, it's starting a new one again.
But we'll see, how much he has left. Because, like you say, I mean, he's pretty beat up. He'll probably be pretty protected. I'm sure he's going to work real hard. But, he's like you say, he's been doing it for years since he's been hurt. So.
And what is it?
And he has, how many matches has he had in the last 3 years?
Oh.
10?
If that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got to be as healthy as he could ever be.
Yes,
right?
that part's true. That much is true. I mean, this is his, as healthy as he's going to be. I think, too, you also find out, what does Rey Mysterio mean to this, in terms of the general public?
WWE won't miss him. WWE won't miss him because he's been gone for so long already. The question is, what kind of bump is he? And we know, like, AAA was a little bit struggling, and when Mystices came down there, Mystico or Sin Cara or whatever you wanted to call him, when Mystices came down there, business turned around. He was good already. Then you had El Patron, and he's good. And now, you know, you throw this in. So yeah, I mean, it may be tough to judge in the long term, and depends on, you know, booking and heels and whether or not they have any good heels and all this type of stuff, but. Yeah, I mean, they seem to be in a good position.
It'll be interesting to see if they can transition Rey Mysterio.
It's more about Lucha Underground. Can it give them any?
Into
because
Univision,
they're already now that they're on Dish Network, already getting better ratings, and so more viewers. So can this push them into being the number two company?
Well, but can this get them off of El Rey and onto, say, like a Univision or something more? More substantial in more homes.
I don't know
what I mean? Like, that's the interesting part to me.
Not just him alone, but when you combine him with everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, with Del Rio and with
they're going to set it up so that John Morrison or Johnny Mundo, as he is there in Lucha Underground, is going to start working as a heel soon, which gives, you know, he makes him a natural opponent for a lot of these guys, too.
Yes.
And unbelievably, they haven't brought Mystices in. I have to think they will at some point.
I would think so. It makes total sense, right? So
yeah,
I mean, it's gonna be interesting. And what's the guy's name? Prince Puma.
Prince Puma Ricochet. Yeah, awesome.
So
I mean, just the idea that you can't sell a match between Rey Mysterio and Prince Puma is ridiculous. Of course, you should be able to. People should go crazy for that.
But that's
if they've seen them in action.
But here's the thing, and the word you used, was sell a match.
And, they don't have pay-per-views.
And they're not selling anything. They have free admission to TV tapings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a different...
Well, you can still build it up. Ideally, you can build it up for a big TV rating. That's selling it in some way.
So it can be, but I think that would sell it to the point where, again, all of their growth in terms of money is going to happen behind the scenes in executive meetings at networks to try to get this thing moved to a more prominent position and get some...
Well, they want to get to the point where they can book house shows. Well, you know, sure, that's the next goal, right?
Yeah.
Make it so you can book a house show loop and make a little bit of money doing that. So that's and that's a possibility. But either way, like I say, it's interesting because the market is posed for a number two. Yes. Because, you know,
prime for the taking right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, ROH is number two right now, but Sinclair still doesn't want to put money into them.
That's because of Mr. Richfield.
Dinosaurs reference. Very good. Very good. Uh-huh. Very good.
Sinclair in here now.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they don't want to put the money into them that they could to really see if they can get to the next level. I mean, ROH is in negotiations to see if they could have a once a month special on Spike TV.
Yeah.
Which would be very interesting.
Who's
if they
trying
got
to get once a month Spike TV?
ROH. Spike TV's theory is to do a once a month they do Invicta, or not Invicta.
Bellator.
Glory, I think it's called. Yeah, Bellator, Glory, one other one. Kickboxing or something.
K1.
And then one other program. So once a month, and they rotate these. So ROH, if they get in that position, that will create a lot more visibility for them, too. I mean, there's a lot going on for that fight for number two. And the fight for number two, the question is there any money to be made there? Because the number one continues to, like, I still think, I mean, WWE, I still maintain they're in trouble. And,
well, here it is. I mean, we talked about it last year. And,
yeah, here's where we'll get to Mania, right?
Well, we talked about it last year. And when you're saying they're in trouble, I mean, at this point now, they've only got 5,999,999,999 more years. Because it's now 2015 and it's a new year.
Yeah.
So they are inching closer.
To being out of... I still just see more trends, more negative trends for a company than positive trends. And I don't see much that could turn it around. Now, that said, that's not true. I mean, what I see on NXT theoretically could turn it around. So, I mean, but I just don't see it happening. Like, I still don't have any confidence that what I see positive on NXT is going to become a positive in the main roster.
Here's how I look at it. And we'll get to this WrestleMania here. And they have a plan at WrestleMania. Like, we've got the card. We know the card. We've known the card for a while now with, you know...
To a large degree,
we know the card. So there's a focus, we'll call it, in terms of...
This is WrestleMania 31. There's a focus.
Two years ago, we went to the Royal Rumble.
Yes, we did.
And in the summer prior to the Royal Rumble, we laid it all out because The Rock just challenged the winner. I think it was Raw 1000. He came out and said, I'm going to fight the fucking champion at Royal Rumble.
Yes.
So right then and there, we said, perfect.
Yeah.
Punk's the champion, fights Rock at Royal Rumble, loses to Rock. Rock goes on then to fight. John Cena wins the Royal Rumble. You get Rock Cena 2 for the belt. This is great. This is your on paper, your way to go. Done. Deal. Love it.
Yeah. Book we know it. That. You get to your point. You're Book taking it. Forever.
Book it, I said. And then they had the fucking writers.
Yeah.
And just as we said, Royal Rumble. Cena wins the Royal Rumble. Rock wins the belt. It's Rock, Cena. And they got writing. And they wrote things. And they wrote things. And week after week after week, I gave less of a fuck after less of a fuck after less of a fuck.
Yes.
For Rock Cena 2, twice in a lifetime.
Yeah.
And fast forward to this year, 2 years later, we looked back even in last summer, and we said, you were more sold on it than I was, but I thought, okay, You said Roman Reigns. If Roman Reigns, and I said Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar then. Because if yep. you are going to take Roman Reigns and propel him to that guy.
That's the way to do it.
Then Brock Lesnar is the natural guy to do the JOB at that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
To get him over. And so, okay, logical sense here. And then, so that was in the summer of 2014. So fast forward to January 2015. We're into Royal Rumble season. We say, it's Royal Rumble season. We're getting ready to gear up. And then we got the fucking writers again.
Yeah.
And they wrote shit. And by shit, I mean shit.
But when you say the fucking writers, when you say the fucking writers, you say the fucking writers wrote shit. No. Okay, so the fucking writers wrote shit, and it might have been pretty good. And then Vince McMahon came in and rewrote it all, and it sucked balls. Well, so it's really one writer it's a bunch of writers that make it more difficult to create a process. And then it's one writer who's the worst writer of them all right now, making the final decision.
Of course.
So
it all goes through the final decision, but here's what I'm looking at is this culture and these fucking writers, and you book this shit, and you write this shit to say Daniel Bryan's going to come back. Well, okay, he's got to win the Rumble then if he's coming back, because why the fuck would you know? Just another jobber in the Rumble, right? People piss on it, and therefore then piss on, he gets the Bautista treatment, Roman Reigns. You already start off pissing it off.
Yeah.
Pissing it away.
Yeah.
Then you fast forward, and okay, now we got to do something with this Daniel Bryan cocksucker again. Fuck, I hate this guy, Vince is saying, because he fucks my stuff up. Well, no, you fuck your stuff up. People actually want Daniel Bryan, but that's a different story.
And everybody so wants Daniel Bryan but you.
And yes. And now Daniel Bryan is in an intercontinental throwaway ladder match, multiple person, because...
And way more over again than he was 3 weeks ago, taking on Roman Reigns.
Yes.
Like, now that they've gotten him out of that, he's just the...
Oh, he's back again, yeah.
Yeah, he's the likable underdog character that everybody cheers for.
Yes.
That's it. He doesn't have to be, you know...
But... And here we go again. Week after week after week.
Yeah.
I give less of a fuck.
Yeah.
After less of a fuck.
Yeah.
After less of a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all with focus.
Yeah.
This is them, like...
No,
when,
I mean,
when
I
say... Yeah. When I tell you... When I say Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, okay? Sting and Hunter.
Yeah.
Right? Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Right? What am I forgetting here? Multiple man ladder match with some good talent.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. I'm missing
Rusev and Cena.
Rusev and Cena, Seth Rollins and Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I, no
fucking
problem
this
with
is
that.
A solid card.
I think the card itself that they've laid out is going to be a good in-ring fun night.
But, like, Randy Orton and Seth Rollins... They have to sports entertainment it. They have to soap opera this horseshit. John Cena and Rusev. I like the fact that Rusev keeps saying no. I beat you. Fuck off. Right? But he's done it now twice.
Yeah.
So something has to happen.
I just don't understand. Like I say, I mean, I guess don't get me wrong. If the UFC comes to John Jones and say, we want you to fight this guy, he can say no.
Yes.
I'm not going to defend the title against that guy.
Right.
But wrestling has never been that way. It's just
Well, but heel Stephanie McMahon said it in her promo. The only way you're going to fight Rusev, I've said it.
Said it too late, though.
Well, it's true.
You know?
It's true.
That's all.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That was her and Andre are friends.
Yeah, I heard.
Also a show picture.
Yeah.
Second one of the week. But I think that the way that it all played out, you're right, is again, bass ackwards.
Yes.
And like Hunter and Sting, cool, started off really well.
Yeah.
Now it's about WCW.
Yeah.
Hashtag, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it's all because, again, Hunter Little Penis here. Hunter Little Penis tore his quad during the WCW invasion.
Yes.
And never got the chance to be the guy to put WCW out of business. So, fast forward 15 fucking years later.
You know what? I never even thought about that. You're right.
I totally right. Can do it. You know what the only ironic and if karma comes back,
yeah,
be fantastic. Awesome Kong is a bitch. I mean, you never want to wish ill on someone.
Mm-hmm.
But during this Sting match, if Hunter tears a quad,
yeah,
I'd giggle.
It would be funny.
Yeah.
I'll admit it would be funny. All right, so you just said a lot, and I don't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things is you're talking about how this is them with a focus. That's what's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
This is their peak.
Yes.
This is when they're peaking creatively.
What did Jim Ross's quote say? It doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah, no, this is it. This is their peak. This is television ratings wise, interest wise, you know, storyline wise, creative focus wise, all of this stuff. This is it. We're in the last 3 weeks of their peak.
This is the greatest.
This is the best it's going to be all year.
This is the greatest in professional wrestling.
This was today. WrestleMania was the best it was all last year.
Yes.
And this is the best it's going to be all this year. That's what's really scary to me. Like this is like their rating this week, you know, like 3.8 million viewers.
Yes.
Or like what they would do when football is on.
Yes.
So when football comes back, what are they going to drop to now? Now well, it would be 3.3.
Hell, we talked about that.
Like
years ago, and they managed to kind of hold it off a bit,
but it's happening though.
Oh yeah, it's happening.
It's just happening. I mean,
trends take a long time to come to fruition.
I was watching the ROH anniversary show,
13th anniversary,
winner takes all. I watched the pay per view, and I mean, I really enjoyed it. But even as I was watching that, I'm watching the show, and this is a blowback from Raw. I'm watching it going, fuck, I wish this wasn't 3 hours. If this was 2 hours, it'd be great.
Like, yeah.
3 hours is too long now, even for a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because you've made all the weekly shows that even the pay-per-views, which I never used to mind when they were 3 hours.
Right.
Like, but, and now it's like, oh, I just can't stand, like, 3 hours of wrestling, it just feels unbearable.
Because we get it all the time now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels like a grind. Mm-hmm. And a lot of little things like the I mean,
Sable turned heel, another dance,
the grind. Yeah,
yeah.
There's so much like that. I look at the authorities, and I'm like, I just can't watch the authority. I don't even care if they're good at their role.
Yeah.
I just can't. I'm so done with the heel authority.
Yeah.
And these ones, even if they're good in the role, their role is to belittle and destroy every other character on the roster, so we know that they're the top dogs. And I'm like, you know, let's put it this way. Vince McMahon is awesome in that role.
Yes.
Vince McMahon always ended up being the butt of the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was stunned by Austin. He was beer bathed by Austin.
Peed his pants.
He was never presented as though he was a bigger star than.
And he was always encouraging. Remember when he told John Cena to keep it up?
No.
You don't?
No.
When he said, keep it up. Well.
Oh, that's right. And then Booker T, tell me, he didn't just say that.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, this is the thing, right? He wasn't effective. He was actually effective because you hated him and he was the bad guy and he always had a scheme. But he was actually always, the baby face was always getting over him.
Rikishi.
Meanwhile, over in WCW, you had Eric Bischoff, who was a good actor, playing the exact same role completely ineffectively because he was what the authority is here.
Yes.
He was always getting over on the baby face. He was always presented as the smartest guy and the guy on top. And it didn't work. And now you look at him when he got over to WWE and he feuded with John Cena and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He then played the Vince McMahon role. He was much more effective as an authority figure in WWE than he was as the authority figure in WCW. Because here he was always foiled. He was always... Vicky was an effective authority figure. Always foiled. Always the
Paul Heyman.
But whenever anybody is presented like, well, like the authority... And like Eric Bischoff was in WCW.
The NWO.
That is not a. It doesn't work.
Well, the NWO, right, failed.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. Well, look at all the stuff in TNA over and over when they
have to
heel authority figures and, or you know the what is it, Main Event Mafias and these different things,
the Millionaires Club,
yeah, whatever that were presented as the guys.
Well, that was classic because they did that over all and
that
over
failed
where the old guys would get in a group. And then they'd beat the shit out of the baby faces, the young upstart baby faces, and said, we gotta get the heat, but then you're gonna make the comeback.
Yes.
And then they dropped the angle, or the guy left the company, or refused to do it, or whatever the story was. The baby faces never got their comeuppance.
The heels never got their comeuppance. The baby face never got their comeback. And it's the same thing with the authority, you know, even when they, like, sure, Stephanie did the thing in the mud with Vicky, but the truth is, like, they're not foiled over and over and over so that you're laughing against them and cheering the baby face. You're just going, oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me. You're much better than the guy I'm seeing, Russell.
Yes.
And I just can't stand them.
No, that's the thing. Is it what it is they talk. It's not so much that they talk down or they dress down the baby face. It's that.
That's bad enough.
Well, but I'm okay with that.
I'm still not okay with that.
Not,
I mean, you look at Paul Heyman and how great he is. How much does he rip down Roman Reigns?
Well,
it's
true. I mean, yeah, the opposite, right?
Yeah.
But if Stephanie and if she's going AJ, blah, 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 and AJ just wallops off and beats the shit out of her, that's one thing, right? If someone's disrespecting you. And you turn around and you beat the fuck out of them.
Sure.
And they don't get a comeback and they are left there lying in a pool of their own blood or just lying there in their own shame.
Yeah.
Right? That's where I can see this dressing down people as long as you get it right then and there.
Yeah.
But they do it time after time after time. And just like Cyndi Lauper saying. And it never amounts to anything.
Never amounts to anything.
And that's
nothing changes.
Nothing changes.
And yeah, I mean, again, you look at Randy Orton, it's like, okay, now I get what they're doing. And I don't know if this was the plan from the beginning, but it's like, okay, so Randy Orton comes back and we think you have to just have him destroy everybody, just RKO everybody, and he's just trying to get to,
you know,
to
capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but now I understand what it is. It's, he's going to pretend to be heel so he can work from the inside to sabotage and destroy these guys.
I get
it. He's secretly smarter than them.
That sucks.
But I don't know that it, yeah, it's not working.
Yeah.
It's
just because I get it doesn't mean it doesn't suck.
It's just not as effective as it could be.
No.
And, I mean, John Stewart was awesome.
Okay. Yes, he was.
Okay, he was terrific.
You know what my favorite part about that, and this kind of encapsulates what we've been talking about, how they just, they write and they don't book and they just don't get it. The first thing when Seth Rollins comes out for his promo, and they show the clip or whatever.
Yeah.
The first line that he says,
this isn't like Andy Kaufman.
This isn't like Andy Kaufman. And
fuck no, it isn't like Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman drew money.
That was good.
I mean, not Andy Kaufman didn't draw money for long because you kept coming back to it and they burned it out.
Yes.
But it drew money and it was hot for a while.
I literally...
And Andy Kaufman was the heel.
I literally yelled at my television.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
He said, this is not Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler. I yelled back, why not?
No. I didn't... Here was an angle. I was like, okay, I'm curious about this. I kind of enjoyed their Skype things that went on TMZ or whatever, okay?
Right.
So then I saw the Daily Show where Seth Rollins shows up.
Yes.
And I stopped caring.
Yes.
Because they play fight. They play fight with each other on the... And that's the most important angle. This is way more important than the Raw angle.
Yes.
The Raw angle doesn't matter at all. I mean, people are going to buy... WrestleMania are going to buy it. They're not going to buy it because of Jon Stewart if you're a wrestling fan.
Right.
But if you're a non-wrestling fan, you might buy it for Jon Stewart. But not if he's play fighting with the guy.
That's right.
You know, back in the old days, a guy like Rollins would have come out. He would have turned the desk over. He would have pushed him up against the wall. Stagehand would have come out. He would have knocked him down. A security guard guy, he would have knocked him down. He would have had him against the wall saying, you think this is a game? You think this is funny? You think I'm playing? And Randy Orton John Stewart would just say, no, I don't. But that guy might. And right behind him would be Randy Orton. And, you know, he would go to get him, and he'd manage to get away. But there would be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
when there's play fighting with each other and putting fake headlocks, and then they're laughing together at the end of the Daily Show.
Look at Jericho.
I can't go immediately to goddamn fucking Raw and see this angle, and I don't care how good Jon Stewart is. I can't care. You've already ruined it. It's not money.
You ruined it.
It. Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever is probably the best term. I just, what I thought of there was Terry
Funk. We're going to WrestleMania. We spent like $1,500
on Terry Funk.
More plane tickets.
Yeah.
Like over $2,000 plus the spending money down there. What do we need? Like $1,000?
At least I would think.
Yeah.
More. I'm going for longer.
Yeah. Like, this is a lot of money. And this is what you're giving me, you motherfucking ow. That hurt.
Yeah.
Ow.
I think. I tell you what, the first thing I thought of when Jon Stewart was out and they were doing this Andy Kaufman thing, and then they showed the clip on the Daily Show and they're play fighting.
Yeah.
I remember Terry Funk.
Yes.
Saying that WCW died, wrestling died to him when Jay Leno put a top wrist lock on Hulk Hogan.
That's the other thing it reminded me of, for sure.
And that was exactly what I thought of, was that...
I thought of that, too.
The fact that Jon Stewart was able to get
Rey Mysterio's 40.
40, okay. Rey Mysterio, 40. Jon Stewart was able to get a move on Seth Rollins, and I was like, that's fucked.
Yeah, what the Jay Leno thing was... don't get me wrong, they did a lot of buys for that, but it did damage to the company as a whole.
Yes.
Because it made the company and their top heel and just the whole thing seem, again, phony and fake and like it didn't matter and you couldn't buy into it. Much like putting the title on a David Arquette. It's all the same thing. Like
I think the thing is, and Jon Stewart kicking him in the nuts, I don't know, again, if they're... It's going to be interesting to see, and I probably will start now. This is funny. I'll probably start PVRing the Daily Show now.
Yeah.
To watch this.
It's on demand.
And it's
online.
But I'll just PVR to watch it to, skip through the commercial. But it'll just
It's on demand, so you can do it that way.
Demand. Show on demand?
Yeah.
Really?
It's on demand.
On the Comedy Network?
Or you can just get it on the Comedy Network online. You don't have to watch the commercials then.
That's true. So I'll watch it.
So anyway, so PBR it.
So I'm going to keep watching it.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to start watching this show now.
Yeah.
So that's what this cross-promotion has done.
It's done more for them.
It's done more for Jon Stewart than my interest in WrestleMania. But I'll watch it, because I'm interested now to see how much of this he promotes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just to see, because again, if you're talking about a $10 commitment to see Jon Stewart, if he's talking about it enough and if he can promote it enough to get interest, you might get buys at $10.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? To do it. It's
I don't know how that... All I know is that when you say it's not like Andy Kaufman, you make me think
about
how it's fake.
You say...
When you don't say... If you don't say that, I don't think about how it's Andy Kaufman. I have a better chance to go for the story immediately when you reference something like that. It just pulls us out. I just hate them.
You say, tomato. I only hear what I want to. I don't listen hard.
Tomato.
I don't pay attention to the distance that you're running. To anyone. Anywhere.
You say,
don't understand.
Potato.
If you really care. I'm only hearing negatives.
I say potato.
No.
Let's call the whole fucking thing off.
Fuck yeah. But that's the whole thing. Now you got this Intercontinental title ladder match. And
the question is, will the ladder match have more people in it than the 20-man battle royal?
Is it only a 20-man battle royal?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. That's what it was last year.
No, it was a 30-man, because it was WrestleMania 30.
What was it?
Yeah, so it was a 30-man.
No, I think it's only going to be.
Should be 31-man now. Anyway, Curtis Axel's going to be in it. And Axelmania is running wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think Hogan's going to be in Cena's corner? at Mania?
I don't see any reason to think so right yet.
Yeah.
But I think, logically, yeah. But there's no reason to think so.
So do you think Cena, like, is going to rip the head off of Lana to get this U.S. title match? Is that where he goes?
No.
How does he get this match? He has to do something.
Well, what you do is you steal the belt.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And then you give it away.
And give it to R-Truth.
Because it's valuable.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to think of what is Cena going to do. I mean, I don't put anything past Cena, because as we all know, Cena's a dick.
That's true.
So I just figured he was going to, you know, give Lana the AA, and Rusev has to say no.
Nah, he won't do that.
Or he's going to, he's going to curb stomp Lana's head onto cinder blocks.
No, he won't do that.
Think he'll say please?
No, he might say please. It's John Cena.
Poopy, please.
But it's Lana. It's not, it's not Rosa Mendez.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But you have a sick sense of humor. But I think, I can't think of anything that, like, how is John Cena having to convince Rusev through who's got to be dastardly means? I mean, let's look at how the Authority came back with Edge. And about to curb stomp Edge. And so Cena says, okay, I'll bring him back. I bring the Authority.
Yeah, but that sucks.
But that, I know, but that's what Cena has to do. Like, no, Cena has to be the heel. He has to be a dick and do a dickish thing that pisses Rusev off so that he does that. Like, I you know what he's going to do. When the flag, the Russian flag comes down, it's going to be like Cena's face on a flag.
It needs to be
something. And that's going to piss Rusev off, and he's going to go, that's your face. That's supposed to be the Russian flag. Okay, I'll face you.
It could be that, or he puts up, like, he's a baby face, so he doesn't do something heelish like you're saying, even though he is a dick. He simply puts up something. He
his
puts
career?
Up something like that.
His hair.
Something like that.
Title versus hair. His mask. Yes. Mask versus
jorts.
Mask. Jorts.
Title versus jorts.
Title versus jorts. Book it.
But it has to be something like that. It has to be his career. It has to be something that Rusev would
Too
want
he wasn't
enough.
The IC champion, because then it could be like the Jort Continental Championship. It would be for like a unification. A Jort unification match.
Yes.
I mean, but what did he put?
You know, I would love it. Yeah, I mean, you could, if you had Justin Credible versus John Cena, you could have a Jort.
Jort's incredible.
A Jort unification match.
Jort's incredible.
Yeah.
He's not going to put his career up, because that's stupid. Although it would explain why they're talking about him being an old man.
So they'll probably put his career up.
Yeah, good. I mean, that makes sense. From that perspective, I mean, it doesn't make sense, but it I could see why they're calling him old.
Sure.
If they're going to say, I'm going to put my whole career up.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
I'll never wrestle another match. You know, the only problem with that is, and for the kids that love John Cena, it'll be great.
Special referee.
Will be going nuts for him. Now, the problem is that for WrestleMania crowd, they'll go, oh, now we know for sure who's going to win. Like, the all drama's gone.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, something
special
like that.
Special guest referee, Shawn Michaels, right?
Mick Foley.
And if Shawn Michaels shows impartiality, I, too, will never be allowed to wrestle in the United States.
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley?
Yeah, he put his Lion in career up at, no, he didn't.
Hell in the Cell.
Hell in the Cell,
yeah. And then he main evented WrestleMania the month later.
Yeah, so he's perfect. And again, if he hadn't killed stipulations.
Just to show you, booking was not always great.
No, oh Christ, no, it wasn't. But as far as WrestleMania is, I'm trying to think of the last time that one had this little momentum. Like, every year has been a hook, right? Like, last year it had the hook of the Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
The year before that it had the hook of, even though you gave a fuck less and less, it was the Cena Rock 2 for the title. Still was a hook for, you know, and it was very successful.
Yeah.
Year before that was Cena Rock 1. You had
the year before that was Rock's return,
yes,
as the special guest host, right?
You had the Shawn Michaels versus
year before that, yes, was Shawn
Shawn for career versus streak,
yeah.
You know,
The year before that had Kelly. Kelly was a hook.
Which I think the year before that might have been Floyd, mightn't it?
No, the year before that was actually WrestleMania 25, and that was probably the last time there was. So, I mean, you ended up having Shawn and Taker as the blowaway match.
Yeah.
But going in, I think it was probably the most anticipated, but that's when you had the really shitty Randy Orton, Hunter, my wife, and in the house thing. You had the three-way.
But you still had something.
No, you didn't. You had Big Show, Edge, and
John Cena. You still had Taker.
But you had Taker every year, but that you didn't.
That was a lot, though. Taker,
but this year you have Hunter and Sting.
Well, that's the thing. That actually is the biggest match on the show. That is the biggest hook.
Yeah.
But they're making that less of a hook. Whereas they didn't actually make Hunter or they made Shawn versus Taker that year. It was the biggest thing on the show going into the show.
Yes, it was.
And they didn't fuck up the build. In fact, they did things like the great promo where Shawn showed him burying everybody and all that stuff.
Yes.
Like they had great videos. Like you were just their promotion of that one match was so good, that was the hook.
Mm-hmm.
This year if there's not that one match which like I'm looking at that ladder match and I'm like, this is gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I prefer I think the maximum amount of people that should be in a ladder match is like three. I prefer one-on-one, like because you can have psychology, still tell a story. Whereas when you get this many people, you start getting the spot fest where you see them setting up the ladder for each other, working together and all this stuff. But as a spot fest, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it, don't get me wrong. But that it's not because of the build, it's just because I know what the match will be.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, I don't give a fuck about
that. I don't feel
I will
like...
say, though, it is nice that all these people want the Intercontinental title.
You need more than one night of that. You need more than 1 month build of that.
I'm just saying, it's nice.
It's nice. They got to keep it up, though.
Sure, but it's not a bad thing.
They got to keep it up. Like they can use Niagara to do that, though.
Yes, they can.
Yeah,
they can.
But yeah, I mean, again, coming back around. Yeah, I mean, they at least had that one thing that they didn't fuck up. This year, there's nothing that's being promoted. Like, the Sting and Hunter thing isn't promoted in a way that makes me go... Like, it's so simple that it's not the great promotion. So, as far as momentum, I mean, WrestleMania 19 didn't do well. But I don't feel like the momentum was that bad. I mean, I think we're looking at WrestleMania 13 as the last time there was this little momentum. Like, almost 20 years, 18 years. Like WrestleMania 9, 10, 11, and 12, and 13 had, like, no momentum.
Well, I mean...
Even 8 didn't have a ton of momentum. 7 didn't have a ton of momentum. Like, the momentum kind of peaked at 6
until... No, 7 had no momentum.
7 had, yeah.
It was the way they had to move it indoors, because they didn't sell enough tickets, right?
Yeah. But these did not have any momentum. They did not have... But WrestleMania wasn't the same thing then yet. Like, WrestleMania kind of...
It's true.
Like, WrestleMania, as much as it was their big event, it wasn't the event where you... Like, it was... It was just their big event, but it wasn't their event where you went, there's going to be a hook, until pretty much about the time that Tyson showed up.
I still...
At Mania 14. I think that's where the mentality changed.
I still say, as much as people point to Mania 13, and yes, it was probably business-wise, not even probably, business-wise, it was the lull. I still look at WrestleMania 11, to me, as the... That WrestleMania 11, to me, stands out as the worst WrestleMania.
Yeah, because you had... They did have a hook, though.
LT
versus
hook.
Bam Bam.
Absolutely they did, and LT's all...
But think about it. You had LT versus Bam Bam, and then your second match was Diesel Shawn. Versus Shawn, and then your third match was Roddy Piper as a special guest referee with Bob Backlund and Bret Hart, and there could not have been less momentum for that
exactly.
match.
Exactly. And I quit match.
Worst match of Bret Hart's career.
Yeah, I quit match.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, WrestleMania...
You had the Smoking Guns against Owen and a mystery guy that was Yokozuna. You had the Blues Twins against Eli and Jacob Blue against the Allied Powers.
Luger and Davey Boy.
It was a bad show. I couldn't even tell you who the Intercontinental... what was it? It was... Wasn't it Jarrett and the Roadie? I think it was Jarrett and the Roadie against Razor and X-Pac in a tag.
Yeah.
Like,
But, I mean, again, though, we're talking almost 20 years since the last time WrestleMania had this little momentum. And it's very, very, like, and again, I look at their ratings and then they're down.
Yeah.
And I think when football comes in, they're going to go down again and they're not going to rebound.
Look at
don't think that, you know, just because they have this contract and they're talking about how, I mean, we're looking at our tickets for WrestleMania, I'm going to have a great time because there's a fucking convention and there's a Hall of Fame and there's all this great stuff going on. And WrestleMania is just the thing that happens.
Yes.
And the ticket package is gorgeous, dude. I never even asked. Like,
I know, I totally forgot about that until just now. I almost put my arm.
I'm just wondering what is the exactly? I never even asked. What's the hotel accommodations like?
Well, it's we're staying woo
at the Marriott.
At the Marriott.
Yeah. So do we have separate rooms or what?
I don't know yet. I think that's still to come. I think that part. These are just the tickets. All the room information didn't come yet.
It's not going to be three of us in one room, is it?
Separate email. I don't know. It could be. It could be not in the same bed. The producer will have to sleep on the couch.
It's funny because it's true, but that is awesome.
So, this is a video podcast.
These are very beautiful. Yeah, much better than the tickets I have.
So here we are in section 115R, which R stands for red. I found out.
Yeah,
those are awesome seats. 115. We're 50-yard line.
Yeah, we're 50-yard line. And close down. Close.
We're
that's great.
We're row 9. So we're 9 rows up in that first
we're gonna have
level,
a wicked seats.
Right at the right stair and right at the ring.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome.
So
we still have 3 tickets to sell though that we also
yes.
got. That
if you're interested in going to WrestleMania,
contact us. We have 3 tickets okay. all together. They're yeah. not bad seats either. They're in the second.
I have to be a member of Pyro and Ballyhoo here.
Oh no!
For fuck's sake, Russo.
Can we just talk? No, just pause it then, because you're going to be gone too long for me. I have nothing to say. What am I going to say? Oh, you know what? You weren't here for
ROH.
I'll talk about the ROH show. Again, the problem with the ROH show was again the length, and that's not even their fault because theoretically 3 hours is not too long for a pay per view show, but ROH still put out. I mean. It also peaked too early. Like, the Young Bucks, big surprise here. This never happened. But the Young Bucks had the best match on the show. The Young Bucks and Red Dragon, of course, was easily the most fun. Not quite as good as their match from last year, but terrific match again. And they were the most over with the crowd. And so, I mean, the show peaks there. And then, you had the Samoa Joe entrance. So you had his appearance, you know. Basically saying that he loves ROH and the TNA title is doesn't mean much and that he's going to go after the title here, which is this is the thing he's supposed to say. But what you got with the ROH show is really good wrestling at the beginning, a lot of fun, peaks with that one thing, and they put him on before in the past, Red Dragon versus Young Bucks as the final match in the show because they're so over because you can't follow it. And I know you really couldn't do that because it wasn't the promotion of the show. But, I mean, after that match, you get a match like, El Patron versus Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal's great, and El Patron is a very good worker. And, they have a solid match, but it's not as good as the Christopher Daniels-El Patron match. And it's just one of those things where that they had on free TV a couple weeks ago. It's just one of those things where you don't know the chemistry between the guys. And so they told the right story. But just, it's not, you're coming off the craziness of the Young Bucks, tag title match against Red Dragon, and the chemistry and the timing's not quite in sync, and it's one of those things where you just don't know. I mean, you never put them together before, you don't have a chance to work house show loops and different things, so it's the right idea. Now, here's the good thing, the show itself, it was good, it wasn't great, it was a good show. I'm glad I ordered it, I think anybody would enjoy watching it, they had a couple terrific matches. That match was terrific. They somehow managed to make the Maria Kanellis versus ODB match a lot of fun. The opening match with Seidel and Cedric Alexander was really, really good. The main event was a little bit of strange booking, but I don't really mind. I mean, ultimately you set it up so that Jay Briscoe still hasn't been pinned in a couple years. He's going to be facing Joe, it looks like, at some point. He used to face Joe. When Joe was champion before there and held the title for nearly, he held it for, I think, nearly 2 years. Jay Briscoe had a few chances against him and could never beat him. So, I mean, you have that storyline, that basis, that's good. I mean, and it looks like Joe is just in there sole purpose to elevate Jay Briscoe and that ROH title. Because it does look like a short-term thing with him. Which we'll get into more when Addy gets back, but once fired Russo.
doesn't really sell. But yeah, good show. But I mean, here's the good thing. I mean, you have Jay Briscoe, and then you just look at the contenders, right? Jay Briscoe's your champion. You have in May, you're going to have Adam Cole back. Elgin looked strong, booked strong. I just look at him and I think he'd be, I mean, he's short, but he's so powerful. And him and Rusev would be such an awesome combination. Elgin looks strong. War Machine looks strong. Hansen, who's part of the War Machine team with Roe, who showed up again. Hansen looks strong. Tommaso Ciampa got hurt. I mean, he wasn't booked to look weak or anything. And he had actually the best entrance, at least like my new favorite entrance in wrestling. He came out with this mask, like this metal mask and like this hood on, like a cape. And then the mask had red eyes and it was all dark and it was glowing with these red eyes. And Ciampa just looked so awesome. And it was a really cool look. And it's my new favorite entrance in wrestling. But unfortunately, he hurt his ribs. He'll be gone for a while. But you have these guys.
What though, a loser.
Everybody in the main event still looking strong. You have Joe there. You have Adam Cole coming back. And you have Jay Lethal, who has been undefeated champion for like over a year or about a year now in for the TV title. And here's what I love about like this. And this is a different mentality, certainly, than most companies, especially a company like TNA. Like, you have
when they were
the around. Red Dragon, right? Champions. Respected with those people who know them. But then you bring in the Addiction, who, of course, wrestled in TNA as Bad Influence, right? Daniels and Kazarian. They put them against them. You think, oh, that's the team with all the momentum. The crowd is hot for them. Nope. Red Dragon maintains the title, holds on to it, successfully defends, beats them, it elevates them. You bring in El Patron. He loses to Jay Lethal. Matt Sydal, Evan Bourne, came back into the company. You think he's going to get the title, a lot of momentum, returning star. He loses to Lethal. Now you got Samoa Joe, he's probably going to lose to Briscoe. AJ, didn't get the title right away. Like, these guys don't come in and beat their guys. These guys come in and actually elevate their guys. And that's good booking. That's something I really love in ROH. Because, you get something like Christian coming over or Angle or something like that coming over to TNA, they immediately give them the belt.
Yes. So Samoa Joe.
Yes, let's get more into him. Yeah, he's there for just a little while.
Till April.
Yeah. Has offers from Lucha Underground, AAA. Yes. Has offers from, of course, ROH wouldn't mind if he's around longer.
Yes.
If he's the right price. Has offers from New Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah. Tied in with that, a very solid offer from New Japan, from what we understand, because they really need some new blood. But then there's
an offer from the World Wrestling Federation
Entertainment.
Not lately.
Not lately. That would be a push. That's really interesting.
Nobody gets a push there.
It's really interesting, though.
Yeah.
They missed out on AJ, and I think they know they missed out on AJ now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they don't want to do that again. And he's much more somebody who would seemingly fit in than AJ anyways. Or at least, AJ would fit in now, but historically. Because he's a bigger guy and everything. And he might go to TNA, or to, if he went to NXT, it would be very short term. It would really be. But odds are, I mean, he might just go right to the main roster too, which we haven't seen in a while.
Who was the last person who went straight to the main roster? Was it Karma?
It might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. It's a very interesting thing. Like, he's 35, I think.
Yeah. Same age as Cena, right? Because they wrestled together.
Yeah.
In...
So he's an old man.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted on it because for them, bring him in.
You're like Kane.
Make him your top heel, like Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Make him your top heel or one of your top heels and put him on that roster. You need him. You need top heels. We talked about this before. Sign Joe, bring back a Davey Boy Smith Jr. or a Chris Masters or something. Yeah. Push a Luke Harper and bring up a Kevin Steen from the... Do all this and get some fresh blood into your heels, because that's what's killing the company
as
far as interest in the matches besides the booking.
I think... And let's... I'm just comparing and contrasting here. Like, Samoa Joe size-wise to Rusev.
Yeah.
Like, not much difference.
Not much difference. Yeah, I mean, he's not... He's not huge, but he's not little either. I mean, if you had seen him on the Ring of Honor show when he comes down to the ring and he's passing by Elgin, and that's a match I want to see, and they will do. Mm-hmm. But he's a good like 3.5-4 inches taller than Elgin.
Yeah,
Elgin isn't a little guy. I mean, he's not tall, but he's massive.
Well, Elgin, and, I mean, we know him. A lot of fans know him better in his WWE run as Hornswoggle.
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, Samoa Joe is size wise is fine. Like, yeah, I mean,
to think of it. We talked about this fuck years ago, probably 4 years ago.
He's not like the huge Samoan that
Umaga.
Yeah, he's not Umaga.
Well, but he would be, and I think that's he will be.
Maybe
should he come in? He will. I mean, it's a matter of you've got a few ways to go with him. You're talking about him being a heel, right? Does he buddy up to the Usos and turn on him? Is he brought in from Roman Reigns?
I would think I think you'd go that direction.
And turns on him.
I don't even think turns on him. I think he's brought in as the you don't represent the true Samoan heritage.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah. Right.
Yeah, you may have. You're not the true.
Yeah, exactly. You're not the true Samoan. I think you do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think he would still go by the name Samoa Joe, but I don't think that matters. Yeah, I mean, he would.
No, he wouldn't go by
Samoa. I mean, they could bring him in and push him. They would have something with him. It would be really good. I hope they do this. That said, I also would be like I say, I'm conflicted because I know they need him, and potentially it could be good for him. On the other hand, they could fuck it up so easily, and he could be out of there in 6 months, and his legacy could be tarnished to some degree. Whereas if he goes to New Japan, it'll be great from day one.
I don't think his legacy would be tarnished.
Because I've seen it before. I've seen guys go there, and you think, oh, they're great, and then they show up, and they have a shitty run, and they're gone, and you go, oh, okay, I guess there was nothing to them.
That's true. I have seen that. I mean, Shane Douglas is the guy that stands out to me.
Yeah, that's one example. There's a lot of examples of that over the years. So, I mean, I think to some degree, like, if he goes there and it's just a nightmare,
yeah,
like that would hurt his legacy. And whereas he goes to New Japan, I know he's just going to be pushed great, have great matches, and it's going to be smooth. There's no risk. But there isn't the same reward either, and they need him. And so, ultimately, I'm conflicted. A, I don't know if he will take it, and B, I don't know if he should. I'm sure if it's hard for me, imagine how it is for him, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, that's... But it's interesting. Selfishly, I hope he goes. But
yeah, I do too. Probably in the end of the day.
I just like to see it.
Yeah.
I just like to see what happens, right?
It would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, especially now that if they lose Brock, and they shouldn't have. But now they might, because they're such dicks.
Well, I don't know. I did enjoy Paul Heyman's promo about... Brock Lesnar will go anywhere. He's not here tonight, but because he's gone somewhere.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar will go anywhere he wants.
Yeah.
Before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I thought that just the way that he said it, it was like, I like that.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, they had him at the point where it looked like they were,
close.
They were close.
And they still are close.
Yeah, they're close, but they're pissed at each other.
Wow, it's who knows how long that's going to... Who knows? They were yelling at each other. But
quite a bit. And then you know, I mean, Lesnar went home.
Yeah.
Took his ball.
But, yeah, and went home.
Got the F out.
But, I mean, again, when you have someone as calculating as Paul Heyman that can be a mediator between the two sides, I don't rule anything out.
Well, again, that they had essentially basically agreed to things, and he wasn't willing to sign even with what they had agreed, but was there to talk about it, and then when they showed him what they had drawn up, It was different than what they had promised.
Talked about, yeah.
So it's not even, like, and don't get me wrong, the fact that they didn't want to sign, so he's waiting to the last second to get the best deal possible.
Yes.
And that's pissing them off, and I understand that, because they got to make their plans. They got to know, like things could change. Things could change at WrestleMania. Things could change before WrestleMania.
Yes.
Right after, like, all their booking, they, you know, fucking, we give us an answer. Yeah. Be professional, give us an answer. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to, but it would be the most professional thing to do.
Sure.
Morally, he doesn't have to.
No.
You know, or legally, he doesn't have to. But no. Professionally, it would be the best thing to
it
do.
It would be nice.
But when they turn around and fuck him on the contract, as they've done to so many other people.
Yeah. It's,
You know, it's like yeah, it's, I mean, if they blow it with him, I think they'll be sorry for it. But even then, if they do, he'll still be back someday.
Oh, yeah, of course, But that's, again, that's just the interesting Brock story. Him sitting in front row at UFC and clearly playing the game.
And right? Dana's so too stupid to realize it.
Well,
I think he's just hopeful. He's you're being played.
I still say the best thing possible for professional wrestling right now is Brock being attacked by Brock the day after WrestleMania, after he signed a new contract, is attacked by Josh Barnett and Chael Sonnen and another fucking UFC guy.
Yeah,
that you can
get.
And you have this.
Well, I don't think you can get Barnett because he's under contract.
Well, whatever, I'm just...
But I'm saying, yeah, but Chael Sonnen and fucking Vanderlei or. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Like, eventually you bring Mir in. Right?
Yeah, and, yeah, ideally.
It's one of those things. But
it's just a matter of
you
time,
have
probably.
This MMA group, which is your new NWO, and that's the only way to make things fresh.
I think that would help a lot.
Right?
Yeah, a heel. Yeah, because we saw how well that worked when they turned Tito
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, they could also do Shamrock, you know. But you could. Seriously, I think it would be. I think it would create some interest, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. Did you hear about... Angelo Mosca.
Yes.
On Tuesday, he announced that suffering from Alzheimer's disease. And then on Wednesday, he announced suffering from Alzheimer's disease.
You know, if he watches Raw on Monday nights, then he's the luckiest man.
He really is.
In the country.
He really is. But Hamilton Tiger Cat and NWA wrestler.
Angelo Mosca.
And a commentator on Maple Leaf Wrestling.
That's right. So, Bill DeMott's a dick.
Really?
Of John Cena.
Yes. This isn't anything new, though. This is the part that really gets to me. It's like really? Who cares? Like, I mean, all I could think of with people talking about all this stuff, and it's like, is this the mentality? He's calling people, go back to Africa, and he's calling you people pussy willows or whatever, big wusses, and all this stuff. And he's a drill sergeant, essentially, right? He's a fucking actual army drill sergeant from fucking the movies, really, right? That's what he is, and that's fine. That's what your high school fucking football coach is in Texas, right? Coach Turner. Eric Turner. That's him. But, I mean, not the guy. Remember the guy that replaced Eric Turner?
Yeah.
It's him.
The dick.
Yeah, a dick.
The heel.
Yeah, the heel. But, I mean, that's just what they've hired. That's what people are getting themselves into. And now, because you didn't make it, you're complaining. And it's this, just this, oh, I was treated unfairly. This was so horrible. I got a name for you. Richie Incognito. Right? Look at all the controversy around Richie Incognito and what he did, mm-hmm. right? And what it cost him.
Yes.
The same should happen to Bill DeMott.
Mm-hmm.
It won't.
It might.
Because I don't think, well, it
no,
might.
No, we haven't seen everything that's come out yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of evidence against him, and you know what? You're sitting there going, oh, it's a guy whining. No, it's also people that had success that couldn't speak up. It's more than one guy who's left. It's some guys who've left and had success elsewhere. They're speaking up, and we're not just talking about yelling at people and being a drill sergeant. We're talking about going beyond the line, hitting people when they're concussed, and dressing them down physically, literally, and all sorts of stuff that is like, you don't need this in modern day and age to teach people. And we're well past this, and we know better now. And
the other part of it, too, sorry to cut you off here, But
no, you're not.
It's fucking Bill DeMott.
Yeah, he's a dick.
No, I don't care if he's a dick. He's fucking Bill DeMott. To quote Eddie Guerrero, who did he ever beat?
That's true. Get rid of him.
Yeah,
just get rid of him because he's bad
you
publicity.
You no longer employ Bill DeMott. Your company is probably actually a little bit better.
Yep, I think so. Just get rid of him.
Yeah, like this is not Bill DeMott is not worth
the fact
any
is,
potential
no,
headache.
No, they've been turning a blind eye to this guy for too long already. So, yeah, okay, DeMott's a dick.
Bill DeMott is a dick.
Yeah,
people should have expected it though when they signed up. I will say that. What do we got here? Eddie Edwards is.
Who cares? It's in TNA, so who cares?
I love this.
We had a couple topics. The one about Triple H's guys.
Yes, yes. I wanted to know who you thought. I'll give you a name. Okay.
Okay.
And there's a Vince McMahon. We know he had his guys, right? I mean, it goes beyond just the Stooges, but he had his guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, with this transition more and more coming, that Hunter's going to take over. Who do you think Hunter's guy is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll start with I'll start with Gerald Briscoe, Mr. McMahon.
Okay,
who do you think is Triple H's Gerald Briscoe?
Well, what was his actual role?
Well, you just think of someone that scouted. And, I don't know, maybe not trained so much, but he really was the guy that went out and scouted and found these guys.
Okay, so first off, I just want to say, this is REO Speedwagon. Remember this one?
Oh, REO.
Remember this one?
No.
You will. Okay, wait, maybe we'll get past the solo part. That's... Get your lighters up, everybody.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Keep on loving you. I like how this is. Watch, we'll keep playing this. I can't fight this feeling.
What? There's no similarities. Another great song from REO Speedwagon.
Another great song.
REO Speedwagon.
New words to the same song by REO Speedwagon.
You're sarcastic.
What? All right. So who do you think is Triple H?
That would be Stephen Regal.
Yeah. William Regal is
William Stephen Regal. William Regal. Johnny Regal, Handsome Regal,
comparable,
Simple Regal,
and I think in terms of that transition,
yeah,
when you go there, I feel good about that.
Yeah, I got no problem with that one.
I feel good about that transition. What about Gorilla Monsoon? Who would you think is?
Well, again, what was his role?
Well. Think of the Golden Girls. You know, Gorilla Monsoon to Vince McMahon really was, you're a pal and a confidant.
A pal and a confidant.
But just someone that he could go to, a man that was with his father, wrestled for his father with his father and took over, not just as a commentator.
Might be a little older, maybe. But...
Older, a little bit wiser, just a guy, your veteran of the business. You turn to for advice.
So it's Ric Flair.
It's Ric Flair, exactly.
It's Ric Flair.
What I wrote down.
Yeah,
too.
That's Ric Flair. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I mean, the guys that he has or will have, like one of the things is Vince was able to get the guys he wanted.
Yes.
Triple H might not get the guys he wanted. Like for instance, I mean, Pat Patterson. Vince could get Pat Patterson. He stayed there for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, Vince could definitely get Pat Patterson.
Triple H might want Shawn Michaels in that same role, but couldn't get him because Shawn doesn't need the money.
That's right.
You know.
And he should have Bret Hart, but he won't go.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's
exactly.
So, who do you think is Hunter's Pat Patterson then?
So, yeah, I mean, see, I mean, you got Mercury and Noble there, but it's probably not them.
Don't suck nearly as good enough dick.
So you heard.
No, Jamie Noble drags his teeth. Horrible.
I don't know, man. That is weird because, like, again, is it a guy that's already there? Is it a guy he ideally would have? Like, it ideally would be Sean. Or maybe it'd be X-Pac. I don't know, you could trust him. Or
but I think who's it going to be? Or who is it? Like, you talked about this longevity, this thing. I think it's Stephanie.
Oh, fuck.
I do. I think when you compare the two, I mean, the only difference really being, to me, is that Pat Patterson molested children. Stephanie was molested as a child. And other than that, the similarities are the same. It's that right hand man that they have that is never going anywhere, that is a constant, that always has input, right? That's to me, and I said, I'm not saying that this is a an ideal match. I'm just saying that's who Hunter has, right?
There were so many offensive things that you managed to roll into that one.
Yeah, we're talking about Stephanie. Thoughts? But it fits.
No, see, because Pat Patterson knew what he was doing.
I'm not saying. See, this is the point I'm getting at. This is a transitional period, right? I'm not saying that Hunter's going to have everybody that knows what they're doing, right? It's that may not be the case. It's who's Hunter actually going to have. Part of this exercise is to see how good we feel about the future.
I mean, no. Patterson was the Finnish guy. Stephanie's not the Finnish guy.
No?
No. She, you know.
She finishes, guys.
To completion. But.
Ooh, yeah!
Snap into it. Fuck. Yeah, I mean, so that's, I mean, I'm looking at a guy who's that Finnish guy, who's the booking guy, who's the guy you can put in the ring at the, to main event a, or referee okay. a main event, like a guy who's everything, you count on him, okay. who does everything.
Yes, you know who that is then? Well,
probably is.
Yeah, it's gotta be Michael Hayes.
It's gotta be Michael Hayes then, yeah.
There you go. What about Vince Russo?
What about him?
Who would Hunter's Vince Russo be?
A guy who came out of nowhere, has some great ideas, but burns out quickly?
Yeah.
Every writer they have.
I don't know. I think I'd go with this Ryan Ward fellow.
Could be.
Who the hell is Ryan Ward?
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about coming out of nowhere.
Came out of nowhere, product was good, left, product sucks ass.
He hasn't left yet. He hasn't left.
Oh, okay.
He's in NXT. He's the writer of NXT.
Oh. Who am I thinking of then?
The guy last year. I know who that showrunner fucker. Yeah.
They need to bring him back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. Could be this Ryan Ward dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Linda.
That's Stephanie.
That's Stephanie.
That totally is, though. That works.
I don't know that is. It's just the wife. That's the only similarity. And
I can see her running the business side while he does the creative.
I can't.
No?
And that's the part. Shane was the business side. Shane was his mother. Stephanie was the father. And that's the thing, right?
Yeah, but now you don't have Shane, so I think she might fill that role because it's not going to be on her.
Well, that's the only thing.
She might just slot into it out of
She might have to. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
JR. Talent relations is where JR, right?
Who is the JR, the talent relations guy, really?
You know who I could... I have the answer.
Okay.
Or I have an answer that I think is interesting. I don't know that he would do this is the problem.
Yeah.
But someone that I could see doing it is Kevin Nash.
I was thinking Kevin Nash as well.
I mean, the guy that has to smooth stuff over and be charming.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, be a dick if he needed to.
Yeah, I can see it being Nash.
Or
I just
even if he wanted to.
I don't know if Kevin Nash will ever have the work ethic it would take to do that job consistently. He'd have to show up at TV every week and
So he'd be Michelle Wilson. Then,
yeah.
Or John Laurinaitis.
It won't be John Laurinaitis.
No, but Nash would be like John Laurinaitis.
Oh, he'd be more like John Laurinaitis, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Nash is a good guy for that. Talent relations, yeah.
He is the right personality.
It's a little bit of a different system now, though. You know, I mean, it used to be like a JR would, you know, decide the payoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they apparently had some system, but let's face it, a lot of it was him feeling it. They actually do have an actual mathematical system now.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, so the need of a guy like that has changed to some degree.
It's true.
So, I mean, I could see, you know who I could definitely see doing that is Road Dogg.
Yeah, that's probably, that could be your guy is Road Dogg. I mean, and you look, or even, I mean, yeah, probably Road Dogg.
Road Dogg.
Yeah, not Billy Gunn, Road Dogg.
Not Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn would be closer to your Patterson type, I think.
You got to remember, too, is that, well, he's an ass man. But you got to remember that Hunter right now. Hunter's title right now is Vice President of Talent.
Yeah.
Right? So Hunter is the JR right now.
Is the JR right now.
So it's just a matter of when he goes. What about Bucky?
Bucky Beaver?
Bucky Beaver.
The head writer?
Kevin Dunn.
Oh, the director?
The,
no, that's Gerwig. Which one's which? I can't remember.
Bucky Beaver is Kevin Dunn. The, the director. The
I fucking don't know.
Yeah, like that's the thing. I don't
It'll probably be Kevin Dunn.
It won't be Kevin Dunn. They hate Kevin Dunn. Everybody hates Kevin Dunn except Vince.
All right. Well, so, I don't know. I don't know what director
that's,
would be.
That's the...
That's not going to be a former wrestler, so who the fuck knows?
Could be Kevin Sullivan.
The Kevin Sullivan that's now in TNA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be whoever does it in NXT. I have no idea.
That's true. There is someone in NXT. That's probably what it is. And we just haven't heard his name. But that's the only one. So, all in all, I actually feel pretty good about that team.
Yeah, I don't mind that team either. Now, what about his good works then?
Well, that's what I said. I think you got like Ryan Ward.
Oh, yeah,
okay. I call it Russo. You can call it the words. A dick is a dick. I mean, it's...
good point. Good point. All right, and then we had another one there. Didn't mean to get to there. I'm looking up something, too.
Okay, I just want to also talk about the fact, as we talk about this, is that named to the board of directors of World Wrestling Federation, both Stephanie and Hunter are now officially on the board of directors.
Yeah.
So that's... And that didn't even... I had this question... This
the idea that they weren't before is what got me. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, it kind of made sense a little bit, but... I like it because it, again, is all signs to me point that Vince needs to go, and so this is getting prepared for that, not right away, but it is getting to that.
So Alunder Blaze, Melissa Mazzelli,
yeah,
we haven't brought that up yet.
She threw the thing in the trash can, the title.
But she's won the Hall of Fame.
She is.
So your thoughts? I mean, we've kind of known this one's coming for a couple weeks. I think we've probably mentioned on the show before.
Yeah. But now they had the presentation of it.
Yeah.
Right? Funny. In a word. Funny.
I hope that she opens it. And we know she's probably going to apologize for what she did with the title. But I hope she opens it with going, I just want to say to everybody, it was Eric Bischoff's idea. I hope that's her opening line. Because that'll bring the house down.
Well, they get a plaque, right? I hope she drops the plaque in the garbage.
Well, they get I know they get a ring,
but they also get that plaque.
You see whose ring is up for sale?
Oh yes,
Abdullah Butcher.
Abdullah the Butcher. Yes.
Yeah, for $20,000 or something.
$20,000 and a case of hepatitis. That ring could be yours.
Yeah. Well, it might actually be because of that lawsuit that he's having to do it.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah. But Hannibal's still wrestling, so.
Yeah.
That I consider that a failure on your part, Abdul, that you couldn't have taken him away from us.
I know. Fucker.
As a wrestler, I meant.
Oh.
I don't mean I'm dead.
Oh, really?
I just don't want to watch him wrestle.
Huh.
Actually, I don't watch him wrestle.
Yeah.
So dead's okay.
Okay.
No, I don't want anybody dead.
Well.
Okay, Vince. Russo. All right, Russo. Oh, you didn't mention it, but yeah, Alundra. So what do you think? She's going in as Alundra Blaze.
Yes, and, of course she's
in the Hall of Fame.
Scott Hall went in as Razor Ramon. I mean,
they have to put in a woman every year, so.
Yeah, put in a bitch every year. So
woman. I mean,
it's, no, she's not going in. it's a thing where I hope she drives a monster truck on stage.
Yeah, so that's her gig for the last 15 years or so.
But I don't know, I just, it is what it is. It's a woman. It's a women's champion. I mean, Medusa more than Alundra Blaze.
I mean, Alundra Blaze is what, 2 years, if that?
Yeah, about 2 years, 93 to 94.
It didn't work very well, but yeah. I mean, the main reason to me it didn't work very well was because you didn't have an actual women's division.
No.
And you didn't have good heels.
Well,
Nakano was a good heel to some degree, mm-hmm. but she's just out of nowhere and all of a sudden getting these matches. And they were good matches, but like Bertha Faye, as much as I like Ronda Singh, that Bertha Faye gimmick was not
death.
Yeah, like you know.
Well, here's how it went.
What's her name? Luna Vachon.
Luna Vachon,
your heels were not clicking. So it didn't work.
Here's how the women's division went in late 93.
Yeah.
Okay, where we don't have Monday Night Raw here in Canada. I don't think Monday Night Raw existed yet when they... No, it did. we didn't have it in Canada, so we'd still watch Superstars.
Superstars.
And, you know, you had the... from the pages of the World Wrestling Federation magazine, here's Update, right?
Yeah.
And so Update comes on.
Presented by Vic Fenn.
And all of a sudden it's like, hey, the bitch title is coming back.
Woman's title.
And we're going to crown a champion. We're going to have this tournament with matches, blah, blah, blah. And like two of the matches were on Raw.
Yeah.
And three, I guess.
And Medusa or Alundra Blaze, before that, it was last seen in what, AWA?
AWA, yeah. And no. She was in the Dangerous Alliance.
Was she?
Yeah, she was the one standing with the Halloween Phantom.
Oh, you're right. She was.
Right?
She was. You're right.
Yeah, she was.
Before that, she was AWA.
And she had the Beach Blast.
Yeah, you're right.
With the bikini contest against Missy Hyatt, remember?
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah. So, she was AWA, then she was WCW.
Mm-hmm.
So, then Medusa coming, not wrestling in WCW, but then she comes to WWF. As Alundra Blaze, different look, not the curly hair, cuts her hair,
yeah,
different look, but her.
She had a nose job.
Not at first.
No, not at first.
In the run she did.
In the run she got her nose
job.
And
all the pictures they showed were non-nose job pictures, I noticed.
Yeah,
that
was
kind of funny.
Yeah, and a breast enhancement.
Yeah. But I think what it was is she come in, wins this tournament, and is the bitch champion.
Women's champion.
Then really nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luna Vachon.
Yes.
Who's a bitch wrestler.
Woman's wrestler.
Says she's going to find someone.
I hope that comes across of somebody. Yeah. What they? Somebody.
Showering or flushing.
Yeah, that's good audio.
That is great audio. But someone, so she's going to find someone.
Yeah.
I'm like, aren't you a fucking wrestler?
Yeah.
Why don't you fucking wrestle her?
Yeah.
Not really, no. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
So she finds this Bull Nakano.
Sure.
Nobody knows about.
Nobody knows about.
Bill.
Great look.
Yeah, great
Very
look.
Good wrestler.
Yeah.
But nobody knows about.
Nobody knows about.
You don't have a women's division.
And so you have like a couple squash matches. And then she beats Alundra Blaze to the title.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Great. I think at a SummerSlam, maybe.
Something like that,
it's like wonderful. Then it's Alundra Blaze's mission to win the title back.
Mm-hmm.
So they follow that up with, like, nothing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then, next time you see them on TV, she wins the title back.
Yes.
Like, months later.
Yes.
Wow.
So it didn't really work.
And then they follow that up with Bertha Faye attacking from behind, and Bertha Faye was going to be this killer.
Yes.
And then 2 weeks later, after,
she was Bertha Faye.
She was in polka dots.
Yeah, she was.
It was like, it was the female version of Brodus Clay.
It really was.
It
absolutely.
Exactly.
Is exactly what it was.
And
so all of this didn't work is the point. And she was, She went back to WCW, and she was that was in 95. She was still there, like, right up to the end. She was, like, cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, she was
a
cruiserweight, yeah.
She was, I mean, Russo used her quite a bit.
She beat Oklahoma.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but, so for years, when they were doing these huge ratings, she was there as Medusa. She had many more eyes on her, much better known. Yeah. It's like Scott Hall.
Yeah.
When Scott, it's like Scott Hall had more people watching him as Scott Hall, and yet he's still known as Razor Ramon. Like, remember when he was in that bar fight a few years ago and somebody filmed it on their camera? Razor. Everyone's chanting Razor, Razor. Like, they're not chanting Scott Hall. Like even though he was Scott Hall, was had three times the viewers as Razor ever did, Razor Ramon gimmick is memorable. Medusa is much more memorable and had more viewers. So, no wonder Blaze, but that's just what they do. So, whatever. She's coming in. That's and it'll be an interesting speech. I will be, like I said, I hope she opens with that line. And then we had to the question of...
I also want to talk about that for whatever reason, Ray Stevens not going in the Hall of Fame now.
Well, no, they still might announce another name or two.
I know, but the sort of the talk now is it because he's dead, he's not going in.
Oh.
Because they don't want another dead person.
Oh. They already have one dead person. He died at least 60 years old, I guess, when he died. But that was in 96.
56, I believe he was.
Yeah, but that was in, like, 96, though.
Still.
Yeah.
It's...
But they'll put in Kevin Nash.
Yes. Which would be a fantastic speech, talking about speeches.
Yeah, that'll be a good
speech. But no, it looks like, you know, that they said... is canceled. So, I mean, who knows?
Who knows? So, this was the question I was asking you, was who is a successful, smaller wrestler that they should be templating, who was successfully booked and did very well, drew money, or was respected, or whatever,
right.
They should be templating Daniel Bryan off of, because they don't know how to use him properly or book him properly. So, who should they look at as their guide and say, what we did here, or what they did here, or whatever, that's what we should do with Daniel Bryan.
Well, the problem is that quote unquote smaller guy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it has never really. I mean, here's the
meant
thing.
Less?
Here's the thing. You tell me.
But they don't know how to use
it. You say smaller guy, underdog, smaller guy.
Yeah.
Who should they book him like?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who they should book him like.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan.
There's something to that, yeah.
Hulk Hogan, even at 301 pounds and 6'8", brother, was constantly up against, when you think of the bigger Andre the Giant, Bundy squashing his ribs and now having to fight
one
him in a cage.
One-man gang, Kamala.
The one-man gang, Kamala.
Earthquake.
Earthquake, the Benedict Arnold of the World Wrestling Federation, Paul, Mr. Wonderful, Orndorff, which is what Primetime Wrestling is up to now on the network.
Orndorff was smaller than him, but still.
No, but that was a turncoat a deal that you could book him with.
Sure.
Right? Samoa Joe could turn on Daniel Bryan.
Sure.
Right? And you could have that. And so that's who... You book him like there's nothing wrong. It doesn't mean that you have to book him like Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels or any of those smaller individuals relative to them. Hogan was the underdog. Hogan was constantly booked as beating the odds.
But there's difference. There's a difference though. Hogan was
over
smaller than Hogan was smaller than Kamala. But Hogan was big enough that people believed he could beat Kamala and slam him and was still really, really strong. And all that stuff.
Yes.
So they didn't have to. So in their mind, it was an easy way to book him. Whereas in their mind, it's like, well, if we book him to beat Samoa Joe, nobody will buy it because he's 100 pounds less. So that's the mentality that they're thinking.
I don't think so because...
No, the fans don't think that anymore. But they do, specifically Vince.
I think when
so
you,
that's
I think
where,
you say that against Brock Lesnar, that size difference, I think you could say that, right? But I think when you're talking about a guy like Samoa Joe, or you're talking even about...
Rusev.
Yeah, Rusev. Like, that's like, not... The difference isn't that much.
Well, even... No, I mean, even that's their thinking against a Bray Wyatt. And that's their thinking against a Roman Reigns. Yeah, it is. And Vince is thinking that, and there is that thinking, even with Hunter. You can't do that. So, I mean, when I look at it, it's like... the guy I see as the template for how to book him is Matt Hardy or Jeff Hardy.
Right.
I think how you book Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy got massively over, was the most popular guy in your company. He's the only guy we since seen as being there to really pass him, not just for a short time, for like a month or two, like Punk, but I mean, yeah, pass him, let him blow past him.
Yeah.
The way they booked him, that's if you do that with him, because they never booked Jeff Hardy like a fool.
Well, they never really booked Jeff Hardy.
Well, that was part of it.
Yeah.
You didn't overbook him, that's for damn sure.
No, you didn't. You did not.
And that's the guy I look at. Just book him like you booked Jeff Hardy and watch it go. And when he has momentum, like you did with Jeff Hardy, seize it and go with it.
Well, and now with you know, the fact that he's had the neck injury, you know, Daniel Bryan probably has a lot of pain medication to take. And so, he, you know, they could TNA.
The guy who has, as far as, like, a presence and a freaky charisma that Jeff Hardy had is definitely Finn Balor.
Yeah, I was going to say Finn is...
Yeah. But as far as how you book him the way you book Jeff Hardy, and just book him that way, let him get his momentum. When he has it, just go with it.
You know, to be honest...
You'll be fine.
To be honest, I think they kind of have... They kind of had booked him... Like they booked Jeff Hardy
to a little for a little when he was when it was working when
yeah
he was,
when it was working
when he was with Kane
yeah
and he was you think I'm the weak member that was kind of how you yeah
yeah
before they started you know going even, wait he's getting over
yeah yeah
we just wanted him to be like we just wanted him to have good matches
we just wanted to have a character
yeah, yeah. We just wanted to have a character and yeah exactly
but I do yeah
but I see what you're saying with Hulk Hogan I understand what you're saying but I say Jeff Hardy's the guy to base him on. Because I just don't think you can base him. You could, I mean, I don't think you can base him off of Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart.
No,
or,
I don't think
or
so.
Or Ricky Steamboat, even. Like, you know.
No, they are booking him like Bret Hart.
To some, that was part of the problem, yeah.
I mean, they are. I mean, this being in the Intercontinental title ladder match is the equivalent of the Bob Backlund I Quit match.
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, just this mid-card, you know, nobody, right? I mean, it's brutal.
And he's not even going to win it. I'm convinced he's not even going to win it. So
at this point, yeah. So
yeah, he's just there. It's just there as a placeholder, so he can do something spectacular and get the reaction.
When I thought it was going to be a three-way,
yeah,
I thought okay, he'll win that, and Cena can win the IC belt, and then and part of me at that point, or the US belt, and part of me at that point was thinking that WWE was just behind the times, and they were going to have Lesnar retain, not be around a lot.
Yeah.
So then you could have what we talked about way back when.
Have these elevator titles.
And the title, John Cena as the U.S. champion, could headline the 999 show.
Yeah.
Right? And Daniel Bryan with the Intercontinental title can headline that next show until you get to the SummerSlam and Lester can show up his four times.
And what's
going to
happen at the SummerSlam?
What is going to happen?
At the SummerFest.
At the SummerFest.
Yeah. All right. Are we done? OUT?
It could be.
Well, yeah, let's go.
It could be.
We're done.
I'm just thinking that
no, we're done.
It could be...
I'm leaving. I gotta go.
But I think
it I gotta get up early. I gotta go to work.
It also could be...
You gotta go for a while.
Could be...
So, good night.
Guess who's gonna return? Richie Steamboat.
I'll see you guys later.
All right. So that's gonna do it now. In the Twitter world, we're at We Talk Wrestling. We're facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. WeTalkWrestling.com is our website. And @ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com. So that's how you can get a hold of us. And we welcome all of your questions to us because without you, there's still going to be an us. So that's going to do it. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Yeah.
What?
Did you shut it off yet?
Yeah, I just clicked the button.
Okay. All right, cool. I just want to let you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 of how offensive you were this episode, it's about a 14.
Yeah. Fuck off.